but they will not be alone. In fact, Jesus even suggests they'll be better off without Him. John 14, verse 12. Because I am going to the Father, in my absence, anyone who has faith in me will be able to do even greater things. How could this be when the greatest of all time was about to abandon them? One commentator says this: the Spirit is a gift that must await the trigger of Jesus' going. Think about it. Christ's physical departure meant that He would no longer be limited to one place on earth at a time. In His stead, Jesus could now be present to all believers through the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is the game changer for us. In Jesus, God became Emmanuel, God with us. But now, God takes His presence one step further. He is God in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. All of this to provide the ongoing support in our lives, the help that we so desperately need. So let's read the text beginning at John chapter 14. And these are the words of Jesus. I believe it's page 875 in the Blue Bibles. And I will ask the Father, Jesus says, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Then down to verse 26 of chapter 14. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now fast forward a chapter to John 15, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me. Now flip over to Romans, page 916 in the Blue Bibles. These are the words of Paul. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. And then down to Romans chapter 8, also verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And so, God, we thank You for Your Word, written thousands of years ago, yet relevant for us today. And we invite You now, Spirit of God, to illuminate the truth of God's Word and to make it relevant and applicable to our lives here and now. I ask, God, that You would now move me out of the way and come and speak to us by Your Spirit. We are hungry to hear from You. I pray, God, even this morning, You might break down chains in our lives or barriers that keep us from trusting You, Holy Spirit, as our helper. Come and speak now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. As a longtime coach, one of the top qualities I look for in an athlete is teachability. Because I can't coach you or make you a better player unless you let me. And I am staggered at how unteachable many people are. Some of us never stop talking long enough to actually listen to advice. Others are on an endless Google search for answers when the greatest resource we have is the Holy Spirit living within. Are we listening? Willingness to be taught, having a teachable spirit, is vital for Christ's followers. But this demands that we humble ourselves and acknowledge our neediness when, frankly, many of us don't wish to be perceived that way. And so our prayers sound more like, fix this, give me that, bless me here. Then, God, teach me. Teach me. I'm hungry to learn from You. Jesus goes on. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will remind you of everything I have said to you, and He will testify about me. Here we see the memory function of the Spirit. We need to be reminded of the truth. I don't know about you, but it seems that I often suffer from a kind of spiritual amnesia. Due to life situations, my own sin, my own forgetfulness, or by no explanation whatsoever, a dark pall comes over me. And I can lose sight, forget who God is, forget what God's promises are to me, and I even forget who I am now because of Him. And I need to be reminded. That's what the Counselor does. What is it that you need to be reminded of today? Perhaps all you feel right now is shame and guilt. And you've forgotten that in Christ you are forgiven. Or maybe today you feel lost, unloved, or unlovable, and you've forgotten that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It's crazy, isn't it, how quickly we forget the truths of God the moment we head out the door every Sunday, even with the very Spirit of Christ living right inside of us. It's because day after day we are confronted with counterfeit truths that are vying for our approval from media, from enemies, from loved ones, from the lies that we have chosen to believe. And way too easily we lose our way. And we need to be brought back to the truth, to Jesus, to the one place where we are truly defined in Christ. And this is a primary job of the Holy Spirit, to fix our mind on Christ, to continue to reveal the person of Jesus and to strengthen our recollection of the truth that Jesus taught. Now to Romans and Paul. Verse 15. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to God's family. In the first century, Roman men would adopt orphan boys, most often to perpetuate their family name and to secure an heir to their estate once they were to pass on. Adopted fathers or adopted sons had no inferior status. In fact, deliberately chosen by their father, they might well enjoy their father's affection more fully than would his biological children, if he had any. In many of his letters, Paul contrasts the old slavery under the law to this new relationship with God, our Creator, made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And this radically alters our standing, and it's really important that we get this. We were slaves, cringing in fear, wondering how the Master is going to respond to us and treat us. And now, because of Christ, we are children, adopted, chosen by the Father, heirs to His limitless resources and co-heirs with Christ, free now to be who God made us to be. This family imagery goes back to the Old Testament, where God is pictured as Father and Israel as His Son. Another interesting point in the text has to do with ABBA, not just a 70s pop band from Sweden. For a typical Jew, Abba would have been an unusual way to speak of God. But this is what Jesus called His Father, a term of endearment. Abba, Father, loosely translated in English, Daddy. A little word, but we mustn't miss the intimacy or access that it represents. Adopted into the family, we are invited to address God now by the very same name His one and only Son, Jesus, used. More than that, we are invited into the very same kind of intimate relationship as dearly loved children that Jesus had with His Father. This is stunning, life-changing. This past week marked the 7th anniversary of my father's passing. Even though I was older when he died, at times since my dad died, I have felt even a little bit gutted, rudderless in my father's absence. And I have to say, oh, how I need to know this. I am adopted by my Heavenly Father. It gets me deep in my spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit in me who seals it. Verse 16 of Romans 8 is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The indwelling Spirit is like my adoption papers that prove that I am now a child of the King. Another way the Spirit helps us in our weakness is when we do not know what to pray for. The Spirit Himself, it says in Scripture, intercedes for us through wordless groans. In the name Paraclete, there is another meaning, a judicial one, referring to the advocating role of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit defends us, has our back, goes to bat for us, pleads our case, speaks for us when we cannot speak for ourselves. And when our lives are clouded in a pain too deep for words, and we are weak, He is strong. And the Spirit is our voice to the Father. When our heads are muddled and we cannot pray, when we're rattled in the depths of our being, the Holy Spirit understands our inexpressible longings, stands in the gap, and immediately voices them to the Father for us. What a comfort. So let's land the plane with a couple of application points this morning. First, when we're feeling alone. For believers, are we tapping into this incredible resource that is ours in the Spirit? In church circles, we can suddenly become dependent on programs, pastors, or mentors, racing from one to the other for help in a desperate attempt to have our needs met. When our true help is found in one place only, we must trust our relationship with Jesus to ground us, especially in hard times. When we find ourselves battling challenges, we can end up feeling very alone. Sure, we may have people in our lives who try to help distract us or wallow with us or, worse yet, try and fix us. But that often leads only to feeling more alone than we felt in the first place. How the Scriptures name the Holy Spirit, advocate, counselor, helper, combines the idea of someone who comes alongside to befriend and provide both comfort and wise counsel. One who sits with you in your present pain and helps you move forward. One who will be there with tears and hugs and the truth. Or to put in the vernacular, one who will be there with 4 liters of ice cream and a good advice. A six-pack and a to-do list. A Kleenex box and a game plan. All in perfect balance. 1,500 years ago, the age of 16, a young man was hauled off to Ireland, and he became a slave. A reluctant convert to Christianity at the time of his capture, surprisingly, he clung to his faith in dire circumstances. Isolated, alone, experiencing help from the Lord. Years after his release, he would even return as a missionary to the people of Ireland who'd held him captive. Hardship was a catalyst for his spiritual growth and inspiration to pen these words. Calling on the Lord for strength, it's a prayer that's encouraged believers for centuries. It's the prayer of St. Patrick. Christ, shield me today against wounding. Christ in me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ on my right. Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down. Christ when I sit down. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the eye that sees me. Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation. The truth is, we are never alone. Because the Spirit makes Jesus present in us and all around us. One commentator I read this week said this, the Spirit would be the disciples' reservoir of power and their unfailing guide. Never left solely to survive by our own resources. As Christians, we always have a helper. And it's up to us as followers of Christ to tap in to all the Spirit offers. Second, when we're feeling afraid. Fear, I have to say this morning, is one of the main tactics in the enemy's arsenal. Maybe you've heard these kinds of words before. You're not good enough. If only people found out who you really were. And when God finds out what you've done, He'll surely want nothing to do with you, just like everyone else. And we cower, slaves to false guilt and shame. The devil loves to make himself out to be bigger than he really is, to make it seem like he's in control, or to trick us into seeing God's sovereignty as bad or as an oppressive thing, and to offer us control like he did with Adam and Eve, as if it's even his to offer. All this could be yours, he says. I appreciate what Jim Cimbala says in his book, Spirit Rising. When God takes control of a life or a church, He takes control through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the helper Jesus sent to do the job. When we fear giving control to the Spirit, we really fear God's control in our lives. And when we refuse to yield to the Spirit, we miss out on the holy excitement of living beyond ourselves. And yielding to the Spirit is difficult, I know. But if we never surrender to His control, if we never draw our security from the truth that we are deeply loved children of God, we become a danger to ourselves and to others. For people who don't really know or embrace the truth that they're loved by God, suck love from whomever and wherever else they can find it. Like Waylon Jennings sang, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. 1 John 4 verse 18 reminds, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And the only perfect love out there is found in Jesus Christ and in relationship with Him by the Spirit. And at our very core, it's the Spirit who gives us life. Everything flows from there. When my kids were very young, I asked them regularly the question, who's your daddy? Not to draw attention to me, but to remind them of the real truth. And the answer that I drilled into them, God first, and then you, Dad. In a world where almost no relationship is secure, we live in fear of rejection. At the office, in our neighborhoods, in the hallway, at church, even in our own families. Divorce rates high, friendships hard to come by, loyalties traded in easily for a better offer. People can be ruthless. And the truth is, the love of another human will never suffice. But God offers the most secure relationship imaginable, adoption into His very own family. How can we be no longer slaves to fear? For Christ's followers, it's by trusting and applying daily, and I'll say more than daily, God's life-changing message to us, authenticated by the indwelling Spirit, you are mine. Sadler, you are mine. This is our security. End of story. Of all God's promises to us, you are saved, you are blessed, you are called. This is the one we need to be reminded of most. I am a child of God. Oh, Spirit, in our heart of hearts, help us never forget this truth. Amen? I'm going to invite the team to come and join me. And it's a song that we've been singing in church a lot lately. It's written in 2015. And I want you to know that this song, No Longer Slaves, actually comes from the passage I just preached on. Let me bring you back to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. The Spirit you received as Christ followers does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. What a great truth. Let's sing about it now. Stand.